Think we start instantly. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to the talk today. Yes, of course, the most important man is coming as well.
You can take the mic.
Talk of the day or my talk of the day is about Leap is Dead, and I want to do this together with Jeezy. I hope I spelled this name right.
Let's not make it a lesson of Czech pronunciation.
Yeah, I'm learning this the whole morning already, but I think I failed somehow. Jeezy's doing the second part, Long Live Leap. So let's jump into it. About myself, I'm a community member, like many of you here as well. I'm not employed by SUSE. I maintain a couple of hundred packages, mostly out of the area of enterprise resource planning, medical software, and something like that. So I have some interest to get a really stable basis to run this application on it. Let's take a look, first of all, what are we currently shipping as OpenSUSE? So first of all, we have Tumbleweed, which is our, I would say, call it a flagship. Because it's a rolling release, every development goes into this first. And due to its setup with ButterFS and something like that, it's mainly unbreakable. It's very popular as a desktop system. And I think we're shipping more than 10 desktops by default. You can just install them without having additional packages to download. And then we have, of course, Leap, our traditional long-term support release, which inherits the packages in between from SUSE Linux Enterprise. Quite popular as server and desktop. MicroOS is one of the new kids on the block. It's a minimalistic transactional system that keeps itself up to date. And currently, or since latest, we have an additional version coming from Leap, MicroOS Leap. And the last one, Cubic, built on MicroOS as well, coming already with Kubernetes for large container deployments, but I just learned from the maintainer that this is being decommissioned as separate. Okay. So take a little look at the numbers. This is the low estimate of the numbers. I've picked this from metrics.opensuse.org. It's a snapshot from end of March. In total, we have about 500,000 unique installations accessing these update servers, so it doesn't contain information or updates that are from separate repositories or enterprises which keep their own repository backup. So 15.3 is currently the most used distribution, instantly followed by Tumbleweed, which has around 145,000 installations. So roughly Leap 15.3 has about 50% more installations than Tumbleweed. And the rest, which is some, don't know, 50K, is split between these unmaintained releases. And there is even one machine running SUSE 10.2 or OpenSUSE 10.2, which was released in December 2006, which is some 16 years old. We need to get this guy moved to probably Tumbleweed. Anything else will probably not work. Yeah, you're laughing. I mean, I have old hardware from 2007 with 1 GB of RAM and a 32-bit processor. Tumbleweed is the only thing that runs on it. So where are we coming? What is our development model? Since the Leap model, we are sharing the core with the SUSE Linux Enterprise. So we're taking basically the same source code, but building it a little bit different. And our application stack is mostly coming from Tumbleweed. So the same ingredients, but a slightly different recipe is a slightly different dish to eat. Then there was the idea in 2019, how about driving these code streams together? So SUSE would donate the SLI binaries to the OpenSUSE community, and that gives us a couple of advantages. For example, OpenSUSE would receive SLI quality. We have one less code stream to package, we have one less code stream to build, and one less to test. SLI quality for Leap users sounds like a win-win situation, and I was very in favor of that. Yeah, unfortunately, the devil is in the detail. For the user, it doesn't change very much. So in Leap 15.2, in a standard installation, he had four repositories. For 15.3, there were a couple of new repositories coming up, so most of the OpenSUSE packages went into the backports, and then we had, of course, the SLI update repository. But for the packager, we have now a bunch of additional repositories from to where we have to submit our updates. So, up to now, it was quite easy. Before that, we said, okay, I have an update for OpenSUSE core package. I just submit it as a maintenance release or a maintenance request to the update repository. And now we have to find out, where is the package coming from? Is it an OpenSUSE package or is it a SLI package? And if it is a SLI package, to which of the repositories that we've seen before do we have to submit it? Well, of course, we can use OSC for that, but as well, we can use the web front end, fire up the OpenSUSE Leap 15.4 repository and go to the inherited packages. So here we can search for the package that we're looking for, and we see here from which package from which SLI version it's coming from. So that can be anything between 15.0 and up to Service Pack 4. So, as a community member, you do not have access to any of the SUSE internal tools. That means where SUSE is working with Jira and IBS internally, you don't see anything. So, what you do is SAP, submit and pray, because if anything breaks in between or if there is a missing dependency, you do not see it instantly. You really need to wait until you get some information. That's not really, not really satisfying. Yeah, but we can maintain our bugs in Bacilla. Here we had the same issue. We had a couple of bugs that were visible. Good morning, Axel. That were visible to everybody. but there is also bugzilla.suse.com, which is due to NDA issues with paying customers and something like that, not visible for the community. At least here we have an improvement in between, because we can submit bugs against public SUSE Enterprise 15.4, Service Pack 4, desktop, and something like that. Then we were aware that SUSE follows a so-called TikTok development model. What does that mean? The first one is a tick that, the first one in this case is listed here is the talk. So one service pack is more keeping or getting cosmetic updates. That means it contains a lot of bug fixes, probably those that have summarized over the last service pack already. The next service pack is then the one, that is coming with functional updates. As a consequence from this, the first release that we had in this model, Leap 15.3, was heavily outdated in all applications that we were shipping. The KDE desktop was way too old, GNOME, and basically everything. Leap 15.4 has now some updates, but it's far away from being up to date. So happily, we got a new Python, we got a new Qt stack, we got a new KDE stack. Most of the desktops are up to date, but many other applications are not. Why is that the case? SUSE doesn't care about the desktop. And I mean, I don't blame them for that, because this is nothing where customers pay for. Right, customers pay for servers, and mainly, or maybe also for some applications where they want support. So their focus is on the server and not on the desktop. But we, as a community, we want to have up-to-date software. And here we are affected, for example, from the issue that the Python stack that is shipped by default with 15.4 is Python 3.6. End of life cycle, December 2021. That's half a year ago. Right? So, and I doubt that we get any security updates into that. SUSE needs that still for enterprise customers. But we cannot update many packages anymore because this 3.6 ship has sailed a long time ago. And if we now get new applications, they want Python 3.8 or 3.10 or something like that. And the unpleasant situation here is that we know that we're shipping software which is vulnerable, but we cannot update it anymore because we would need a newer Python stack. For those who can deal with it, 15.4 ships as well, Python 3.9 and 3.10, and we can change this with update alternatives, but this is not something that an average user could do. And that also means some packages we cannot build, as it is building against the default compiler, which is Python 3.6. Once more, Ruby stack, for example. The Ruby 2.5, which is shipped by default, is end of life cycle in March. It doesn't support Rails 7 nor Vagrant, and we do not really have an alternative here like we have it in the Python world. So, hit the wrong key. Leap 15.5 will be talk again. That means we don't expect any updates to the desktops, to the Python stack, or to anything else. And to be very honest, at that point, I think we can bury Leap and it's dead. So clearly, if we as a community want to ship a long-term support distribution that contains up-to-date software and is stable, we clearly need a new development model. So thanks to Patrick yesterday, who explained about the defibrillator, I think we need to get the heartbeat starting again, and Leap needs a defi. We need either a tick-tick-tick model, so coming back to the model that we had before, that we ship more of the applications from Tumbleweed, or maybe with a separate application layer on top of it where we add these packages, or we need something completely different. And with this, I hand over to Jizi.
Thank you, Axel. So let's have a look what we as SUSE are currently discussing and planning for the future. Axel mentioned several issues with the Leap development, and I fully recognize that his issues are valid. Since closing the Leap gap, if I exaggerate a bit, OpenSUSE is using the same packages for SLS with just some added branding. So it would be surprising if the SUSE distribution didn't suffer the very same issues. And in fact, this fight is about two options: either keep things stable, as they can be, over as long life cycle as possible, or really use the bleeding edge. Axel mentioned as an example the Ruby version. If I asked this audience, the majority would probably prefer to use the most recent version. But if you are running any workload, server one, which you don't want to update regularly, you just want it to be running, and update of the Ruby stack could be disruptive and break your workload. So I'm pretty sure that you would not agree on a single version to use over a long time. So we obviously need to change something. If you look at the distribution, it and how the Linux system is installed, it's not that much different from the old Unix from the 60s, 70s. You have one file system, all the libraries, all the software at its place, and obviously we did quite some work in packaging so that we can have multiple versions of Python installed in parallel. But still, you have just one environment in which all your applications are running, and this also means that in many cases, all your applications have no other option than sharing the same version of the runtime, whatever it in that specific case means. What we would like as SUSE to do for our next generation enterprise operating system is to move more towards the application-centric view. The application is what you as a user want to run, and you don't really care that much about the operating system or the kernel below, as long as it supports your hardware. And for that, we are looking for ways to really decouple the core operating system and the application so that each of them can use, for example, be it a different version of Ruby, which is just as an example. So what to do, how to do it? Yesterday, Alex Herzig was having a talk about BCI, which means, yes, we can start providing applications, be it a web server, Adam talked about DNS server, anything, as not as really RPMs, but as containers, which would possibly reuse the runtimes we provide. And they would be much less dependent on what is in the base system. It would mean, first, we could use a different version of software than the base system, but at the same time, also, if you have different workloads running on the server, they will be able to use different versions of any packages without the packager having to take care that they can be installed in parallel. And and they would not interfere with each other. Of course, Axel talked about it from the user's perspective. This can easily, this must work also for desktops, and this should be something that the users ideally should not even recognize that there is any difference. They want to run their web browser, they will run their web browser, and if it is running in a container, they should not notice anything. It should behave exactly like the way it did it before. It may sound like a bit hard, but on the other hand, Axel also mentioned the micro OS desktop, and it is getting the traction, so obviously it is possible. So what prevents us from really packaging the software in this way and ship it to users, and then the community for what if it's Leap or if the name is completely different, can either keep using using these provided containers or container images, or it is also possible just to update single part of the system which you care more about, and you would not need to bother about possibly breaking something else because it will use a completely different version of all the runtimes, all the libraries. So this is something that this is direction which we are heading for the coming future. You may want to ask where we develop, where we will develop actually the new version of our offering. C15 and in fact all the previous versions were developed behind the SUSE, inside the SUSE firewall. You could not submit directly to the internal build service, and in fact you had no way to see what's going on, what we are doing, until we decided to publish it to you. And also means that you could not see the impact on any additional part of Leap which are not part of SLES. This is something that we want to change, and we want to develop from the beginning in the we call it external build service, but buildopensuse.org. This means almost everything should be publicly visible for any of you. I said almost, unfortunately there will always need to be some exceptions. Think about stuff which we develop under NDA, or when we get when we are fixing bugs which are still under embargo and we simply cannot release this information to public. This will unfortunately not change, but the big development itself is expected to happen in public as much as possible. Do you want to see anything? Yes, as I said, we already started bootstrapping something in buildopensuse.org. We have very, very early prototype which consists of a subset of tumbleweed and is building images for several of the hypervisors. You can find several projects in the build service. The probably most relevant is devil:colon Leo. Yes, the naming is possibly confusing. Even the ALP is not a final name. It's just a code name of the development effort. So the devil Leo contains a snapshot of subset of OpenSUSE factory, which acts as base. We have also devil:colon ALP, which is used as a testbed for Git-based workflows. And I guess in the coming months there will be more projects in build service to make it even more confusing. We plan to have something that is somehow ready to be presented this autumn. And first solution based on the new code streams, we would like to have ready autumn next year, which can give you a timeline when you can actually expect to build something Leap, next Leap. But as a disclaimer, these are current ideas about the dates, and the dates can change in the coming weeks or months. If you want to get involved, we or Stefan Bellert, who is unfortunately not here today, informed the OpenSUSE board and the OpenSUSE community in April, and there, I think you all can read the feedback on in the mailing list. One thing that we would like to say is that we are not looking into developing next version of SUSE Linux Enterprise. We are really looking at it as a new code stream with new philosophy of the way we distribute the applications. For the efforts, we are currently bootstrapping some kind of working groups which tackle specific areas of the new distribution. You can see a link in this slide where you can see the list of the working groups. Some of them already have more details about themselves. If you think that anything is interesting for you, please reach out to us. We will be happy to hear what you think about it. If you want to help because it matters for you, we will be happy to accept your help. After all, we are doing all the development in public, and in fact, everything all development still happens in Open SUSE Factory. So this was the last slide from me. I don't know if there are any questions. There's one back. Maybe shout at me and we will repeat it. Ah, there is another mic.
I mean, can we do this in the next session?
We can actually as well. That might be a good idea.
Yeah. Okay.
The next.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you.